He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. What will this week bring? It could bring just about anything, but there's a few things I do know, and we'll get to that in the after we get these numbers out here real quickly. Right now, the Dow's up 189 after a pretty bad day on Friday. The Dow's at 45,355. So, you know, we were at 50,000 at one point. That shows you how much off we are since this whole thing began, about 10%. The NASDAQ is down another 19. Real weakness in the AI stocks today. The NASDAQ's at 20,929. The Russell 2000 is down 7 points right now, and the S&P 500 is up just a skosh. The 10-year, it's coming down. That's good. We're at 4.35 today. It was at 4.49 at one point last week. Oil's still up. I think it's at a ridiculous level. I think it has no business being at this price it's at right now. And I'm sure you saw the prices at the gas pump over the weekend, especially diesel. Oil's up 207 today to 101.70. Gold is up 1.62% to 45.98, and Bitcoin's up 12.91 to 67,876. All right, welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we begin a new week after a real nasty day on Friday. Somehow, we miraculously had an up day on Friday. We had one big winner in the market, which I'm going to talk about, and that carried the day for us. But on Friday, the Dow was down almost 800 points. The NASDAQ was down 459 points. And you've got these indexes breaking their 200-day moving averages here recently, which begs the question, and it's a fair question to ask, is this finally, is the bear market finally here, or is this another opportunity like we had a year ago about the same time when we had the tariff war?
Yeah,
we
have another title with a newsletter, right?
Yes, is this another compelling? Well, and I'll make the argument today on both sides of it and where I sit right now. Oil was up 7.1% on Friday, and that's where we closed. As the Middle East conflict, I really didn't see a whole lot of progress over the weekend, other than I guess we're dealing with new people. It's changing by the minute over there. Who's in charge? Who's ever got the military, I guess, is in charge right now in the Middle East. And it does sound like the new boss, same as the old boss, is a little bit more cooperative and reasonable and level-headed. Only time will tell. But let's just go back to Friday for a minute here. And the technical analysis from over the weekend. You know, you've got every index, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, below the 200-day moving averages. The golden crosses are still in place. But the technicals look awful. Sometimes, more often than not, when the technicals look this bad, it's like I said in the newsletter. You're either headed for a bear market and it's going to get a whole lot worse from where we are now, or with those extreme technical breakdowns, this could be a very compelling buying opportunity. I'm not saying today, but I'm saying very, very soon. And for that, I go to the valuations, which we're going to go to here in a bit. Now, on Friday, we had Argan, which skyrocketed to an all-time high. They came in and crushed the Q4 earnings estimates. The stock was up 38% on Friday, and, you know, that one stock carried the day for our whole firm on Friday. We finished right? with an up day, right?
It was like Atlas.
Yes. Yeah. Today is, we've started off down. The AI stocks, for whatever reason, the AI stocks are very, very weak here today. And as far as this argan goes, we're going to have a research report out on argan this week on Seeking Alpha. Micron ended its six-day slide on Friday. That helped us too, but it's down again today. And we did write an article last week about Micron technology. So that's where we begin a new week. Apollo is warning that the U.S. 10-year is mispriced by more than 50 basis points. Barry, I totally agree with that. It's 50 basis points too high. It's going to come down.
And we were under 4. I mean, just yeah. you know, if you look on a chart, what, like a month, you know, just before, I think, before the Iran conflict kicked off. So we've, yeah. you know, it's been a pretty, from a rate standpoint, it's been a pretty sizable rate shock, actually.
Yeah, and it gets to the point of where it's ridiculous. There's two ridiculous things in the market right now. One is the interest rates. They are coming down quite a bit today. And the other is this oil price. That is not sustainable. We saw $3.53 per gallon over the weekend. That's way up. It's up $1 per gallon. And I saw diesel in the $5.50 area. That's up over $1 per gallon. And I really think that this is a, oh, what did Jerome Powell call the inflation? Transitory. I think these oil prices are transitory. I really do. I mean, it's just way, way overdone. You've seen how crowded these trades can get. You had the crowded trade in Bitcoin, running it up to 125,000, which was ridiculous. You had the crowded trade in gold and silver, which was one of the most ridiculous trades I've seen in a long time. Yes, we took advantage of a big chunk of that. But you get to hyperbolic charts and ridiculous levels, and that's what you're seeing in oil right now. That's not sustainable. And this 10-year, you know, I think I totally agree with Torsten Slok, one of the better economists out there. He says we're about 50 basis points out of whack right now with interest rates. And, of course, that's affecting the multiple of the market. 19.77 is where we hit on Friday. That's the lowest it's been since this time last year. Now, that begs the question. This time last year was a tremendous buying opportunity, one of the best I've ever seen, when the NASDAQ got down, or the S&P got down to 4,800. Is this a similar situation now? Well, in the second quarter of the show, we're going to go through the earnings picture right now for the market to try to help us answer that question. You know, we've, like I said, we've got these oversold charts. We've got the interest rates too high, which has contracted the multiple. And you've got an oil price that is not going to stay up here. It's transitory, and it would not take much for oil to move the other way to the downside. Trump says the U.S. is in talks with a new responsible regime in Iran to end military operations. But he also warned that if the deal is not reached shortly and if the Strait of Hormuz is not immediately open, then the U.S. will blow up Iran's electric generating plants, their oil wells, and Karg Island. And he's also talked about taking control of the oil, which he wanted to do. How many times did he say that when he was running for president? Right. If I was Bush, I would have taken the oil, you know, from Iraq, not from Iran. But we didn't take the oil. We let them have it. So anyway, he did give, you know, he did extend his deadline, which was 48 hours. That's where it stands right now over there in the Middle East. And, Trump is floating, seizing. That's the word I'm looking for, seizing Iran's oil. And at the same time, he's saying that Russian ship headed for Cuba, he's not going to do anything. He's going to let it in. He says the Cuba regime is doomed, and a tanker full of oil is not from Russia is not going to save them. They're toast. He knows things we don't know, okay? Well, anyways, you got oil surging as Brent crude nears a record monthly gain following Houthi attacks on Israel over the weekend, which is a little new wrinkle in the war. You would think that the Houthis, they can't have much of a military. I see them shooting their missiles from the back of old mini trucks, you know, pickups and stuff. It's a ragtag army. Well, when we come back, we're going to look at the earnings picture and try to determine if this is a new bear market forming or a tremendous buying opportunity. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, the first quarter of 2026 ends tomorrow. Yes, when the bell rings tomorrow. What a quarter it's been. You know, it's been wild all over the map. But
literally, we could from Greenland to Iran, right?
But I've learned over the years to cut through the noise and focus on the earnings. That's what I did a year ago when the tariff tantrum started and the tariff war was declared against almost every country in the world, and the S&P reeled and rocked and fell to 4,800. It's the same thing I did in January of 2023 when I said the NASDAQ has bottomed, the Fed is done raising rates, and the earnings picture is improving dramatically. It's the same thing I did in March of 2020 when the market had priced in a depression in the economy from
right.
COVID.
And I said, well, we're going to have to flip the switch at some point.
Yes, I said, if that's the case, why are the earnings estimates haven't even moved? Okay, I was right all three times. Now, here we go. We've got the fourth crisis in 6 years. Earnings growth for Q1 2026, which ends tomorrow, the estimated year over year. When we compare this with the same quarter last year, comparable quarter, earnings are going to be up 13%. And you could say, well, that reflects, Bill, you know, before this war came along. And you can, yes, you can make an argument for that. And that's why we'll look ahead to next quarter's estimates and the full year 2026 and the full year 2027. But 13% is fantastic. It would mark the sixth straight quarter of double-digit earnings growth. So that's fact number one. We're not convinced yet, but that's facts number one. And by the way, those earnings estimates have been going up. Quite a bit, actually. The blended revenue growth for Q1 26, that's sales, which is at the top. Earnings are at the bottom. The projected revenue growth is 9.7%. Another terrific number. The net profit margin is 13.2%, which is also at or near record territory.
And it's worth noting that that revenue number is strong because it's hard to fudge the revenue number. You can fudge the earnings number eventually, have some one-time charges, do some other things, but revenue's revenue. So that's at a 9% growth rate. That's great.
Yes. Now, okay, with those earnings get divided into the market. If you take the last 12 months of earnings and divide it into the current price of the S&P 500, You get a PE ratio right now. Let me see if I have the PE. It's the forward PE that's the more important one to me. But the PE ratio has come down on the S&P 500. Let's see, the PE right now is, I can't read that, 25.6. It was up around 30 not too long ago.
Right, yeah.
Oh, it's actually 26.3. The 10-year average is 23.2, but we were at 30 here recently. Okay, now, the one that's more important for me, because the PE reflects the past, and the forward PE reflects the future and the expectations. The forward PE hits 19.77 on Friday, after Friday's close. It was 23 not that long ago. It's come down to 19.77. And by the way, the five-year average is 19.9. We're under the five-year average right now for the S&P 500 on that forward PE. Okay? And, of course, like I say, we were at 23 here recently. For all of 2026, we're expecting 13% growth in earnings versus last year, 13%. And we're expecting another 17% growth in earnings next year. I've never seen earnings growth in the S&P 500 like this. And the direction, remember, I'm a guy that updates the earnings estimates every Saturday. If anybody out there has a better feel for the earnings expectations than me, I'd like to see that person. They have gone up. They were at 360 for next year not too long ago. Now they're at 372. Stick a 20 multiple on that, and you're at 7,400. And the S&P right now is at 6,400. And if you want to know what direction those earnings estimates are going, I put a chart of that in the newsletter over the weekend. They were at 335 not that long ago. Now they're at 372. And how many times have I said that markets follow earnings? And more importantly, they follow earnings estimates. Then why has the market been going down when earnings estimates have been going up? Because we're in the second war that the sitting president, Donald J. Trump, has declared. The first war was on the world regarding tariffs, but mostly aimed at China. And now we've got this war in Iran, which was of his choosing. He did it of his own free will. And that has not hit the earnings at all. It's hit the multiple of the market, bringing it down from the 22-23 area down to 19.77. That's the lowest it's been in a long time. Now, when I do a short-term target price, we're talking the next 3 to 6 months, I now have 11% upside potential. It has not been that good in a long time. You got to go back 1 year ago. But more than that, when I do my 12-month target, and I'm below the street. The street's at 8,300 and something, 8,333 something in there. I've gone up to 8,206. That gives the S&P 500 23.8% upside potential over the next 12 months, which is the best it's been since this time last year, okay? I don't see any difference to the call I made a year ago, and I was right. Obviously, we went on to hit new highs. The Dow went to 50,000. The S&P went to 7,000 from 4,800, mind you. And now I think it's going to go from where it is today to 8,206, which is 23.8, which leads me to the conclusion. There's no other conclusion I can make other than this is one of the, I'm not saying today, but in the coming days, you're going to see one of the best buying opportunities in the market in a year. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Now, Barry, we got to talk about the risk to the earnings, okay?
That's right. Those are a little bit more opaque at this point, right?
The earnings are the earnings. That's given everything we know about the market right now, okay, taking everything into account, we're expected to make we made $271 last year in earnings, S&P 500, 200, put a 20 multiple. Of course, we traded at a 22 multiple, so we got above 6,000, but just put a 20 multiple on that, and you're at 5,500 or so, okay, this year. 2026, the earnings are 320. Put a 20 multiple on that, that's 6,400. If we get back to 22, where we were before all the shooting and everything started, we're at 7,000. But the market, when you look, do a 12-month target price, you're looking at next year's earnings estimate.
Right.
You're looking at 2027. $372. Put a 20 multiple on that, you're at 7,500. And the S&P's at 64. That's extreme upside potential. And furthermore, if we were to get back to a 22 multiple, which, if the interest rates would come down to where they belong, I agree with Torsten Slock, you've got about 50 basis points built into interest rates here that don't belong there and will come out at some point in time, then you're up around 8,000. And the consensus for 12 months from now is 8,300. The risks are that this remains a long, prolonged war, and oil prices remain elevated for a long, long time. So, Barry, I don't know if you noticed over the weekend, I did a little driving to church and back and whatnot and drove by several gas stations, but I saw anywhere from 350 to 3. I can't even imagine what it is in California. 350 to 360 a gallon, and I saw diesel at $5.50. What would that do to the earnings of the S&P 500 if it remained up there for a year?
Well, and that's the key. Diesel prices fuel, you know, almost everything that's sold, cuts into margins, it, you know, increases pricing. So from a, you know, in terms of, you know, whether it doesn't matter if it's fertilizer, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, livestock, you know, DoorDash deliveries, I'm sure, right? I've seen some increases on certain, you know, certain pieces where they're adding a little extra service cost for, you know, for fuel. So, you know, over time, it's going to cut into earnings. Will we see it? You know, it'd be interesting to see. We're not going to see it in this earnings cycle, but it'd be interesting to hear what CEOs, right, say about it.
Well, Alaska Air, for instance, warned on this quarter, okay, because, look, what is an airline, 80% of their direct cost or something like that is fuel. But let's just take another impact here. 10% of the market of the S&P 500 and the Dow are energy related. There's a plethora of energy related stocks. They're all hitting new highs. Okay, the Halliburtons, the Chevrons, the BPs, the Shells of the world. It seems to me that it's pretty much a draw when you weigh that into the factor, maybe it tips a little bit to the side of the users of the oil than the producers of the oil, but would it have that much of an effect on $372 in earnings estimates next year?
No, I mean, I think at worst, right, it's going to, you know, let's just say you end up with the same earnings you have this year, right?
320.
And you're going to have, I mean, we've got a lot of leeway in terms of growth there if it isn't the full 370, right? But, I think what you said in terms of offsetting earnings, or initially, I think, you know, probably it is more of a draw. And then, you know, as it goes on, those input costs become more of a weighing, right, on, you know, just on demand and other things in general. So I think that's the point of, you know, this thing could, as you've mentioned, could be a good buying opportunity because, you know, I don't think the Strait's going to, you know, we're in agreement that the Strait's not going to stay closed forever. It's going to open up at some point, and when it does open up, that is going to, you know, begin to push things back to kind of where we were prior to this period.
Don't you think Trump saw his approval ratings over the weekend plummet to 41%? Even amongst GOP, it's down to 89 or 85. He's going to pull out all the stops.
And I go back to his comment from a couple, maybe 2.5-3 weeks ago now. He's just kind of just getting onto Air Force One, and he said, if I want it to go up, I can make it go up. And then kind of the last thing he said before the door shut was, and I want it to go up.
Yeah,
it's like, 100%. You know, I'm like, as you said, don't, you know, the old adage, don't fight the tape, don't fight the Fed. And it's proven, you know, over time,
don't fight
the president on this. Yeah, don't fight Bessent. Right?
Well, it just, you know, I'm just, I have a probability market, predictions market in my head. And I'm just thinking that this really, really favors the investor here. This is a compelling. I'm not the only one that says that. Today, Goldman Sachs steps to the fore. Goldman Sachs says, I've been pretty much in agreement with Goldman Sachs here recently. I do think they're one of the better macro thinkers on the street. Goldman Sachs says right here, they see an improved outlook after the sell-off. After investors reduced exposure to U.S. equities, the distribution of near-term outcomes has improved, according to Goldman Sachs. They expect S&P 500 earnings growth at 12% this year. That's what I just said, 12% this year. And another 15 or 16% next year. Barring a severely prolonged disruption with AI investment presenting a key tailwind, the first quarter earnings season in mid-April will be key in providing clarity on the outlook and impact of the Middle East conflict. Well, you don't have to own a railroad here. You don't have to own a trucking company. You don't have to own the airlines. You don't have to own the cruise ship stocks. They're on the wrong side of the street right now. And obviously, the energy stocks are on the right side of the street. Secondly, I've seen this thinking of this prolonged high oil prices and prolonged line energy prices filter into the AI stocks. Well, look how much it costs to power a data center. Think how much more it's going to cost Meta or Google or Amazon or whoever else's data center it is. The energy costs are going to skyrocket. Well, yes, if we have prolonged high oil prices, which I really don't see that happening. Something's going to give here. But, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, I understand. A year ago, when I came home on that Friday, it was dark as it could get. I would say this last Friday was about the same. It was dark out there. We had an up day. Somehow we were saved. You know, with that one winner in the market. But overall, when you look at a chart of Meta, when you look at a chart of Microsoft, you look at a chart of Google, you want to vomit. They look so bad. These are fabulous seven stocks.
Yeah, and you got, I mean, you're just looking at the S&P 500, it's been, you know, it's been interesting because, you know, to us, it hadn't seemed like the S&P 500 has been down because, you know, our portfolios, your portfolios have been up. But looking at, the S&P being down over, 6.5%. On a total return basis,
year to date,
year. Yeah, I mean that's a rough
Nasdaq's
start
down
to the
10%
market.
10% year
right.
to date,
yeah,
10%, and we're still positive. Knock on wood, but Goldman,
it's an external shock. Yeah, I mean they're talking about it's an external shock.
Yes.
If it lasts longer, then that's a problem. But it's one of these things that it's not structural. It's not an earnings issue, right? It's an external shock that at some point should dissipate in some form or fashion.
To me, there was a greater chance that the tariff shock would have stuck around longer and hurt the market more than this current one. This
particularly
current
on an
one,
earnings basis, you know.
Yes, this current one just seems like it's here now, but it could be gone tomorrow. It could be gone next week. Did you know there's somebody who has studied this, but there's some kind of correlation between good things happening in the world, maybe that's why we call it Good Friday, after Easter. I thought that's an interesting concept.
Correlation.
So, we're looking ahead here to one of the great buying opportunities of all time. Maybe after Easter. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. When we come back, we got Bill Ackman saying something about the same. We'll be right back. You got it. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Bill Ackman, I don't know that he's the best stock picker out there. I've never really agreed with his stock picks, but he says today, I agree with this, Bill Ackman calls this market stupidly cheap. Billionaire investor Bill Ackman took to X, describing the Middle East conflict as one-sided and bullish for equities, and urged in one-sided, meaning we're winning. We're going to win.
Right.
And urged investors to buy quality as some of the world's leading companies trade at unusually low prices. I couldn't agree more than this next comment he makes. Ignore the Main Street Media? What's MSM stand for? Mainstream Media, yeah. One of the most one-sided wars in history. It's like the Yankees versus the Charleston River Dogs, right?
Right.
That will end well for the U.S. and the world, and we have the potential for a large peace dividend. That means the market, the economy really take off once this is behind us.
Well, if you take it, go into, coming out of 9/11, and for like 5 years there, you had, had what was referred to as the tariff premium put on top of a barrel of oil, essentially. And so, and from his take, if you take some of that uncertainty out, from a long-term perspective, especially if you've got some version of long-term peace or peacefulness, and then, you remove that uncertainty, which, also brings the price down even more. So,
yeah, you've removed that risk from the Middle East. And I agree with this one. Independent of him, I had already come to my decision before I read this. He says that, where is his comment? Oh, here it is. This is one of the best times in a long time to buy quality. Ignore the bears. I couldn't agree more. Now, I'm having a hard time deciphering Michael Burry. He responded directly to Ackman's post saying, I cannot emphasize enough how rare this is in the market. In other words, the big short Michael Burry, sounds like he agrees with Ackman. I agree with Ackman, so I guess I agree with Burry. I agree with Goldman Sachs. I think this is one of the best buying opportunities. I think it could be even better than the one we saw a year ago, although that was pretty compelling because the S&P got clear down to 48. We were down 20% at that point in time. We're not down 20% yet. And I'm not saying today is the day to go in with guns blazing. But I'm saying, as I watch these individual charts, and you say, well, Bill, what will it take next? Well, it's individual stocks. When I see, let's just use Micron, for instance. When I see Micron flattening out from this downtrend it's been in since a sensational earnings report and start to see it curl up, that's why it's so important to watch charts on a daily basis. I truly believe that. It's the best tool that I have in my quiver for timing the buys and the sells. And I will be watching many of these individual stocks that are quality market leaders with phenomenal growth right now. When they reach that, that's what the market looked like in January of 2023. I said the NASDAQ is putting in a bottom. And from that bottom, you could say the gold stocks are putting in a bottom right now. I think they're a little bit ahead of the equities. I think there's a buying opportunity coming in the gold. I think it's going to go back to where it was or close to it. And I think equities are going to go back to where they were, which was a lot higher than where they are now. And then they're going to start pricing in 2027's earnings estimates, which are quite good right now. So that's where I stand. I've done this before. I put my neck on the line. I put my neck on the line in 1990. When did this all start? 2009 is when this all began. I put my neck on the line in March of 2009 saying this, a new bull market is being born.
And then again in 2020, coming out of COVID.
2020. Yep. March of 2020, yeah, the right. Darkest hour is right before the dawn. Sometimes they say that. And then again in 2023, after stupid Jerome Powell got done thrashing the markets with his idiotic interest rate hikes because he was so far behind the curve.
That's the article you came out with, January 6, 2023.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And then in last year.
Tariff tantrum. It was, I think it was years of tariffs are going to work, and I think it was April 6th. I'm thinking we're coming up almost on a year.
It's almost a year, 1 year anniversary.
And you wrote it over the weekend. It didn't get published until that Monday.
I'll have to look and see. Yeah. Was it after Easter that things took off to the upside? I'll have to look at that. But someone was telling me that over the weekend. He said, "Did you know there's a real correlation that good things start to happen after Easter weekend?" I've never noticed that before, but, I mean, I could make a logical reason for why that is. I mean, springs, the plants, the flowers bloom, blah, blah, blah. A lot of good things happen. The fruit trees blossom. I have an orange tree. I looked at when he told me that, I looked at my orange tree, which looked like hell about a month ago.
After we went through the cold.
Orange trees don't do well in snow. My orange tree is loaded with blossoms and fresh growth. And I said, you know, there's something to that, isn't there? Well, we'll see. You could say also, well, Bill, 4 out of 5 ain't bad, kid. You're wrong this time. Man, I just tell you, the argument for this being a compelling buy opportunity is compelling. I've never seen it this compelling. And I was shocked when I got done with the newsletter on Friday as to how much the earnings situation has improved while the shooting war in Iran, and the market is going down. So there you go. Neck on the line once again. All right. We'll be in Sarasota next week to reserve a spot with us in person or to the workshop at the Evan Hotel, Evan Hotel in Lakewood Ranch, 855-611-BESS. To make an appointment with us about money management, 855-611-BEST, or go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.